This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we are in our lesson of Akhlaq of the Ummati. And as I remind myself and you every time, that the purpose of these lectures is only one, and that is Amal. It is to practice what we hear, what we speak. So I remind myself and I remind you that the only thing which is important is to practice what we listen to and what we speak, and that is the reason why we are doing these lectures. So at the end of each lecture, as I always remind you to do, and I remind myself, let us look at three things. What do I start doing? What do I stop doing? What do I continue to do? What is it that I wasn't doing till now, which I should start doing? What is it that I was doing until now, which I should stop doing? And what is it that I am doing currently and I should continue to do? These are the three things that I want to emphasize for you, inshallah. Now, we were looking at the issue of Iman entering the heart, and we looked at the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat 14, 15 and 16, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Arab, the Bedouins, who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to him that we have believed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you have not believed, you have only said, you have only entered Islam, you have only spoken it with your tongue, but belief has not entered your heart. And if you recollect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, however, if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will not decrease your reward. Meaning that for belief to enter the heart, obedience is critical. As proof of belief, belief, obedience is critical. We can't just say that we believe, we have to also prove our belief. I'm sitting here in Groton, and behind me there is a small airfield, and there are these small planes which keep taking off and landing. So I must apologize in advance for these little delays. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stated, he put his condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only those are believers, only those are mu'mineen, only those are the people who are steadfast, who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma lam yartabu, and afterwards they did not doubt. Allah is saying, this is not belief that you say you believe, but then you follow something and you don't follow something, and you think you believe and then tomorrow you have some other doubts and you do. No, Allah said, no, if you have believed, then satisfy yourself completely and totally before you enter Islam. But once you have entered Islam, then you sami'na wa ata'na. This is the shan of the mu'min, that he says, oh Allah, I have heard and I will obey. Now, sometimes we might get, people may ask you and say that, you know, what you are advocating is blind belief, blind faith. Now, I must say to you that it is not blind faith. On the other hand, it is faith with complete and total. It is not blind faith. It is faith with complete understanding. Now, how is that? Because people who obey, people who are saying samana wa atana, they are saying samana wa atana to every order of Allah, whether or not they understand it, not because they understand the order, but because they understand who Allah is. Now this is very similar, ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah is above any examples that we give. This is very similar to our faith that we have, for example, in experts. So for example, if you go to a doctor, and the doctor tells you, you know, you have some issue, you go to the doctor, you get yourself scanned, you get yourself examined. The doctor tells you, now this is what is wrong with you, and to cure that, these are the medicines that you need to take, and these are the foods that you must eat, these are the foods that you must not eat, these are the foods which if you eat these are the foods that you must absolutely not eat at all, it is like poison. But there are other foods which it is better for you to avoid them, but they are not as serious as the other one. Now, if I translate that into religious Islamic theological language, it is the difference between haram and makruh. I say this is haram and this is makruh. Now, you might say, well, you know, I am allergic to the word haram, right? Many of the youth, because of the fact that probably they came across in their lives people who were a bit heavy on this haram thing, and you know, for then, so people come to me sometimes, they say, you know, they say that there are people who make the whole of life haram. Say, this is haram, this is haram, this is haram, this is haram. So I at the moment I hear the word haram, I switch off, right? So I say to them, look, whether you switch off or you switch on makes no difference to the guy who is speaking, and it makes no difference to the fact that what he's saying is right. Just because I don't like something, switching myself off to that is only going to harm me. So if I'm, for example, sitting in a room and somebody says, look, there is a gas leak, there is poison, get out of this room. You say, no, I am switched off to the word poison. So the moment you say poison, I'm not listening to you anymore. So stay and die. What is the answer, right? Stay and die. Because he's telling you this is poison, what's leaking into this room is poisonous gas, so get out. This is poison, get out. You say, no, I don't like the word poison. So because you said poison, I've switched off, and therefore I'm not moving from here. All right, so don't move. That's your choice. Right? Now, the point I want to make here is that focus on your own learning. Focus on what am I learning from this? How does it benefit me? Don't get taken in or switched off by who is speaking. Yeah, the person speaking, is this person, you know, do I like his accent? Do I like his face? Or don't I like his accent? Don't I like his face? I've had a lot of youngsters come to me and say, you know, so and so, his accent is very desi, right? His accent is very Indo-Pak accent. Now the person is talking to me, he's talking about is in their late 70s, they do speak English, perfectly legible, perfectly understandable, but obviously, I mean, the person is from Pakistan or is from India, and he's in his late 70s, he is not going to put on an American accent to please you. He probably doesn't even know what an American accent sounds like. He probably doesn't even know how to put on an American accent. Even if he knew, he probably is not going to do that. So what you want to do now? He's telling you something which is critical for your welfare. He's telling you something which is critical for your akhirah. He's telling you something which, if you listen to him and if you change your life, then inshallah you will get Jannah. Now you want to negate all of that. You want to switch all of that off. Switch off Jannah. Switch off my akhirah because I don't like somebody's accent. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? So therefore, look at yourself. Don't worry about switch off, switch off, switch on and all that. What is halal is halal. What is haram is haram. This is just the way of expressing it in the Arabic language. What is permissible is permissible. What is not permissible is not permissible. But if you think that not permissible is any less important than haram, then that's your problem. Because that what is prohibited it will kill you. So now you go to this doctor, and the doctor is telling you, I have taken this thing about, you have diabetes, very severe, and sugar is haram for you. You say, I don't like the word haram. I am switched off. So go eat sugar and die. I mean, what else? Right? So think about that. If the doctor is telling you, sugar is haram for you, sugar is prohibited for you, sugar for you is like poison, you better listen to that doctor, because whether you like his accent or not, whether you like his face or not, whether you like his word he used or not, he knows and you don't know. Now, this is our approach as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Allah knows and we don't know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa asa an takrahu shay'a fahuwa khairul lakum, wa asa an tuhibbu shay'a fahuwa sharrul lakum, wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah said, it is possible that you like something, but there is harm in it for you. It is possible that you dislike something and there is good in it for you. And it is possible that you like something and there is harm in it for you. And Allah knows and you don't know. This is the meaning of faith as far as Islam is concerned. It's not blind faith. We believe not necessarily. I'm not saying everything we believe without understanding. No, many things we believe with complete understanding of the thing itself, the law itself. But there are some things that we believe and we do, even though we don't understand, not because we understand the law or the hukum, but because we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And therefore we believe and we do because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. So for example, for a Muslim, if you ask him, for example, why do you fast? He said, because Allah said so. Why do you pray? He said, because Allah said so. Now, this is a legitimate, correct answer. Now, it does not mean that the fasting does not have some physical and spiritual benefits. Of course, it does. Every ibadah does. But why is he doing it? The niyyah, why is he doing that? Because Allah said so. Because of ubudiyat, because of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is a legitimate answer. This is a correct answer. Don't allow anybody to tell you that your belief is blind. Your belief is with your eyes wide open. Your belief is understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And you can give them this as an example to say that don't we practice the same logic in our relationships in the way we deal with other experts in the area. You don't ask the expert for a certificate of their learning. You don't say necessarily that I must understand, I must become a doctor before I follow doctor's orders. You may not live that long. Yet you might die before that, because if you didn't follow the doctor's orders, then whatever you were doing might kill you before you have a chance to go through medical school and whatever else. So you don't apply that, because it doesn't make any sense. So don't apply that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here that who is the mu'min, who is the true believer? Allah says these are the people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thumma lam yartabu, and then they did not doubt. They didn't doubt Allah and they didn't doubt the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And instead of doubting, what did they do? They strive with their wealth and with their lives, with their energy, with their influence, with their strength, in the cause of Allah. So who are these people? These are the people who work. These are the people who do amal. These are the people who try to implement the beauty of Islam in their lives and who try to present Islam in the best possible way to the world by practicing it themselves. And Allah said, those are the humus sadiqun. These are the people who are the truthful people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the sadiqun, to make us among those who are truthful. So what must I do now? I must look at my own life and say, do I fit into this? Do I believe in Allah? Do I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, inshallah I do. Then do I have any doubts? And if I have doubts, I must clarify those doubts, right? Because as a believer, I do not have doubts. Alhamdulillah, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we go through life and shaitan is there. So it is possible that sometimes some doubt may enter our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us from shukuk and shubuhat, from all kinds of doubts. And may Allah protect us from that. But it is possible that we may get a doubt. If we get a doubt, what must we do? Go and ask somebody who can explain it to you. And then make sure that your life and your heart is free from doubt. And then act. Strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your wealth and your strength. Meaning, fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to worship Him as it is His right to be worshipped. Do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to do and stay away from what Allah has asked you to stay away from. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these Arab who came, these are the people who came to Medina, and then they tried to tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, we have not fought against you, and we have come with you with our dependents, and we have not we have believed in you, and so on. But the tone of how they spoke and what they did, this tone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are trying to say that they are doing a favor to you because they have accepted Islam. And He says, Allah says, so say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not count your Islam as a favor on me. Sorry, I'm just waiting for this the plane to go. So Allah is saying, do not count your Islam as a favor upon me, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you that He guided you to Islam, if you indeed are true. So it's very important for us to understand this and to think about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly to these people that that fact that you have come to Islam, you are not doing a favor to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but actually Allah did you a favor that you brought you to Islam. Because if you had not come to Islam, then what would have happened? You would have lived without Islam, you would have died without Islam, and if you die without Islam, you know where to go. So that is the other thing for us to understand. Many times you get this kind of, I mentioned this in my last lecture also, many times you get this kind of statement from Muslims when you are trying to give them some, within quotes, bonus, meaning I'm not giving the bonus to anybody, I'm just teaching them something. For example, if I tell them, you know, the importance of tahajjud, which I keep saying all the time, in almost every lecture of mine, I mentioned tahajjud, that here is this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a manner which pleases Him and which is in keeping with His majesty and grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then has it announced to say, who is it that needs something from me? Who is it that needs my protection? Whose need can I fulfill? And obviously, for a Muslim to be sleeping at that time, just shows that he is not conscious of this fantastic favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. You know, we've just come out of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your ibadat and all your devotions and all your prayers, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you from His treasures. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have written Laylatul Qadr in your amal. The thing about that here, you have just come out of Ramadan. Laylatul Qadr, a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as. But think about this, that every single night, there is a time in the night, in the last third of the night, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting du'as. I'm not saying that is equal to Laylatul Qadr. I'm just saying that if you're talking about the acceptance of du'a, then this is not restricted to the last 10 nights and the odd nights of Ramadan al-Kareem. This comes to you and me every single night that we are alive. Now, why would you lose it? Why would I lose it? If I'm losing it, it means only one of two things. Either I'm just not aware, I didn't know that there was this beautiful opportunity, or that I'm just being arrogant, that I'm being lazy, I'm being ignorant by saying that even though this beautiful opportunity is there, I am not going to take advantage of it. Now, why would you do that? Now, therefore, you need to think, and we need to look at our own iman and say, do I really believe? This is the meaning. This is the meaning of the mu'mineen. The believers are those who are believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who did not doubt thereafter, and who strove in the path of Allah. Because what is the striving in path of Allah? It is to do more. It is to do as much as we can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes you get this statement, people say, oh, you know, I'm praying five times a day, now you are putting another burden on me. Subhanallah. I mean, think about that. Is it a burden? I mean, this is a gift for you. I'm not giving it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. Now, you want to reject that? You want to say, no, sorry, I'm not interested. You know, you are making an announcement, which dua is, do you need anything? No, I don't need anything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Is this what we want to say? No. So therefore, welcome. Whatever we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, welcome that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants His favors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that, وَإِسْتَعْزَنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Allah said that, remember the time when your Rabb announced and said that the one who is grateful to me, I will increase and enhance my blessing, and the one who is ungrateful to me, let him beware and let him be warned about my punishment. I think this is very important for us to keep in mind and say, I don't want to be among those people who will be counted among the ungrateful people of the world. I want to be among those people who will be counted among the people of gratitude, people who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we want to do. We want to be counted among the grateful people who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not vice versa. So I remind myself, let us think about that. Let us do it so that we are among those people. Now, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended that set of ayat by saying, Wallahu inna Allah ya'alamu ghayba as-samawati wal ardi wallahu basirun bima ta'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen, the unperceivable of the heavens and the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything that you do, is all seer of what you do. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. Allah is seeing us, meaning in the way which suits His majesty and grace. Meaning Allah is not only seeing what is the apparent, which is in front of you and me, but Allah is also seeing and looking into our hearts. Allah knows our intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that we try to hide. We try to cover up. Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no cover. There's no cover from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we need to be clear in our minds and say, let me do that which pleases my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, and let me stay away from that which does not please Him. My brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for us to remember that this is the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us our faculties, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all that we have. Now, imagine if there is a person who borrows your car. Now, you have this nice, beautiful car. Now, you have this nice, beautiful car, and this person comes, this friend of yours comes to you and says, can I please borrow your car? He borrows your car, he takes it and he trashes it. Now, what do you say to that? What do you say to that? Now, if he trashed his own car, that would still be bad, but at least it is his own car, right? But he takes your car and trashes it, which means that this person now was even able to drive. He was even able to be mobile thanks to your favor on him. You gave him your car so the person could go from point A to point B. He could go meet his friends or whatever he was doing. But he treats that gift of yours with complete disdain, right? With complete ingratitude, by trashing it. Now, what would you say to that? Now, think about this in the context of what we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing we have is because of the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My eyesight, I'm able to see. I'm sitting in this beautiful location here. I've got a piece of Long Island Sound, a piece of the sea behind me. I've got all these beautiful flowers. And I'm spoiling the scenery by being in the middle of that. All of this I'm able to see. Why? Because Allah gave me full color vision. If I was blind, I would still be sitting here. You would be enjoying all of this scenery, but I would be blind. I would not be able to see. I could still talk to you, but I would not be able to see. Right? Now, if I am not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me good eyesight, now what do you say to that? Right? Similarly, if I say that I'm, the very fact that I'm sitting here itself, the fact that that this place was accessible to me, that somebody invited me, and thanks to their generosity, I am able to sit here. Should I not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it? Right? Should I not thank Allah for this? The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me the tawfiq, I could be doing anything at this time, right? I could be watching television, I could be watching, I'm not necessarily watching something which is prohibited, I could be watching something which is permissible, but I could be sitting there, you know, watching TV or you're reading a book or something or going for a walk. All are good things, but they benefit me only in this life. But instead of that, and I am going to go for a walk later on, but I'm just saying, instead of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to sit here and talk to you and try to share with you some thoughts related to how we can achieve His pleasure, Jalla Jalaluhu, related to how we can live our lives in a way that pleases Allah, which is good for us in this dunya wal akhirah. If I go for a walk, it's good for me in this dunya, but on the akhirah, it probably has no effect. But if I'm doing this work now, it has benefit for me in this dunya wal akhirah. I am engaged in the dhikr of Allah. I am engaged in trying in the da'wat of Islam. Whether anyone listens to me or not is completely immaterial. It actually doesn't, I'm not bothered, but I'm saying that it is immaterial because the reward that Allah will give me is irrespective of whether anyone else listens or not. Now, should I not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? Instead of this, if Allah had said, you know what, I am going to reward you only if at least one person listens to you and brings about a change in his or her life, what would I do? What would I do? Because I have no way of persuading or let alone compelling somebody else to act on what I'm saying. I've got zero, I mean, I've got no influence whatsoever. I'm talking, let's stick to the topic of tahajjud because I mentioned that. I'm recommending tahajjud to you. I'm saying you should pray tahajjud. But can I make you pray tahajjud? I cannot make you pray tahajjud. I can't wake you up. I can't force you to get up. I can't do anything. So if you, whether you pray tahajjud or not, I have no way. Now, if Allah had said, no, I will not reward you for praying tahajjud until somebody else also prayed, then I'm dead. Right? But Allah did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubin. He said to Nabi alayhi wasalam, he said, your job is to convey. So convey. Convey in the best possible way, and I try to do that. Try to convey in the best possible way. And if I'm making any mistakes in that, if I'm weak in some aspects in that, then I seek your apology, I seek your forgiveness, and I seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm trying to do my best. And alhamdulillah, inshallah al-mustan, it is my complete belief and faith that inshallah, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu will reward me and will recompense me for doing this. This is the mercy of Allah. So if Allah has made you and me accountable only for our deeds, Allah did not make us accountable for the effect of those deeds. Allah did not say that this deed will be rewarded only if this or that happens. No, Allah said, this is your job is to convey. Right? Your job is to convey. Go and convey. Do that. How do we convey? By our actions before we speak. So we apply the principles in our lives. We practice the deed. And then we convey and take the deen to the rest of the world. This is the essence of the Dawat of Islam. So I want to close by that, by saying the importance of amal, which comes to us in Surah Al-Hujurat, in these ayat, and of course all over the Quran, the importance of action, which supersedes everything else. Whatever we learn, we must put it into practice. So once again, go back to the three-point formula. What is it that I need to start doing? What is it that I need to stop doing? What is it that I'm doing currently, which is good, and I realize that, and therefore I'm going to do that even more. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you and help you to do that, and to be pleased with you in that process. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.